Turning now to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Many people think that the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is a book so difficult that they needn't ever bother trying to understand it or read it or anything of that nature. But what is the name of the book? Revelation. What is a revelation? It's something that's revealed, something that's uncovered, something that you can see, something that has been opened up for you. So why would the book that is called the Revelation be considered a book that's closed? Then you can never understand it. That's a contradiction. And I think that God in his providence causing this book to be given this name clearly indicates to us that it is a book we can understand. And it's the devil who would try to persuade us that this book can't be understood. Don't you believe the devil? I said yesterday that when we come to the Word of God, please always remember, God wants you to understand what's in it. He hasn't spoken in a fashion to mystify you and confuse you, but rather he has revealed in his word the great truths that he wants you to understand. Now, as I said yesterday, there's parts of God's word, and Peter even said this, that are hard to be understood. It doesn't say they are impossible to be understood, but they're hard, and they require us to apply our minds and to pray and ask the Lord, what does this mean? And we'll discover that we will come to understand these hard parts if we thus apply ourselves. Now, we're turning to Revelation chapter 17, and I want to read some of the chapter, but I feel that before I do that, I should refer back to what I was talking about yesterday. Daniel and the vision that the great king Nebuchadnezzar had, the dream that he had, which he required the wise men in his country to explain to him. And of course the only one that could was Daniel. And Daniel told him the dream. It was of a great statue that was composed of different metals. The first part of it, the head, was gold. Then there was silver. Then there was brass. Then there was iron, and at the very bottom, the 2 feet with the 10 toes, they were a mixture of iron and clay. And Daniel went on to explain what this statue represented. He said to the king, the head of gold, O Nebuchadnezzar, that's you, that's you. What this statue represents are those Gentile, what's a Gentile, by the way? Someone who is not a Jew. It's a representation of the Gentile powers, starting in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, that would have an influence, an impact upon Israel. Now, there were many empires have come and gone, but this statue is not representing all empires that would come and go, but only those 4 empires that would have an influence and an impact upon Israel. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. Those powers had an immediate influence and impact upon the land of Israel. And we've got to understand that. The period, the length of time represented by this statue was from the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember the phrase, latter days? You remember that? The statue was going to be destroyed. That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. It was going to be destroyed by a great stone. And this great stone was to fall upon the feet of the statue and it would be destroyed. And that stone that broke the statue was when God set up his kingdom in the latter days. That's the end of this age. So, from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, there would be these 4 empires, which would finally be destroyed by God in the latter days. That's what we were looking at yesterday. Now we're going to look at the book of the Revelation, and we're going to look at the statue, as it were, in its last days. The head of gold is gone, the shoulders of silver gone, the loins of brass gone. We're down to the feet of iron and clay and the 10 toes. And in the book of Revelation, you see, we have a picture of the very end of the age, few years just before the end of the age, and what will happen in those few years just before the Lord Jesus comes. And the statue with its 2 feet and its 10 toes, representing 10 political powers, will be seen to emerge out of the mist, as it were, and feature once again in the life of God's people. Revelation chapter 17. Let's look at verse 1. And there came one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, look at that phrase. I will show thee. That brings me back to what I've been saying to you. God wants you to know. John, who wrote this book, was puzzled by what he saw. This woman, adorned with all sorts of jewelry and painted up, dressed in very bright and gorgeous clothing. Who was this? The angel says, I will show thee. I'll tell you. I tell you, God wants us to understand, boys and girls. God wants us to understand. There is a very strong title used by God to describe this woman. She's called the Great Whore. That's a very wicked woman. A very wicked woman. And this wicked woman is a picture of an evil religious system that will begin to feature in that part of the world that was dominated by the 4 kingdoms represented by the statue. Maps that show the world empires. And if you look, you will see that they spread over an area that included our part of the world, right along the Mediterranean coast, taking in Spain and Portugal and France and England. And that region of the world is once again going to feature in the event at the end of the world at which Israel will be the center. And this woman representing a religious system. Why do I say that this woman represents a religious system? Can you think of another woman that represents a religious system? Give me one of the titles of the Church of Jesus Christ. Anybody tell me? The bride. The bride. The wife of Christ. This is a woman who is an immoral person. A false wife. A false bride. And you can be sure that what we have here is a system created by the devil to be passed off as the bride of Christ. The devil's forever doing that, isn't he? Isn't he forever creating counterfeits of the things of God? He has created a counterfeit gospel. And the Bible warns us of those who come preaching another gospel. It's the devil's gospel. But it's dressed up and made to look like God's word. And it's meant to deceive. And this woman will be passed off as the Church of Christ. But it's the devil's trickery that is at work. The angel says to John, I will show thee, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. She is going to be judged, you see. Oh, the devil thinks he's going to pull a master stroke and he's going to get the victory, but no! God's judgment will fall upon every deceit of the devil. So, the angel then carries John away into the wilderness, verse 3. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Notice the 10 horns. Notice the 10. That's an important figure. 10. In Daniel, there are 10 toes. Here, there are 10 horns on this beast. And that's the picture God uses, again, of the same 10 kingdoms that Daniel was talking about. Let's read on. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Look at her. Look how gorgeous she appears. Decked in gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. What a figure of opulence she appears to be. But she has in her hand a golden cup, but inside the cup, abominations, filthiness of her fornication. Anybody who drinks that cup, they're drinking something that is corrupt and vile and wicked. This woman that has all the appearance of beauty is someone very wicked. And by this cup is causing people to be influenced and affected by her wickedness, causing people to drink of it and so become carried away with her corruptions. And upon her forehead was a name written. Verse 5, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. That's quite a title, isn't it? That clearly indicates what she is. She is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She's the source of all corruptions. And this woman is going to rise to power in the last days. And she will come to power riding upon this beast that we read about in the verse 3. Going to come to power riding on the beast who has the 10 horns. The one who rides an animal is the one who is in control. The rider is in control of the horse. Tells the horse where to go. Stop. Go. Stop. Go to the right. Go to the left. Go fast. Go slow. That's the person in control. And this woman, at this moment that we're looking at her, she is in control of the one who is called the beast. Is there anybody here who can tell me another name for this beast? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. This then, boys and girls, is the closing stages of the great conflict between God and the devil, between light and darkness, in which the devil will produce, as it were, his Goliath. His Goliath, who will challenge God and challenge all that is of God on the earth. He will say, I am God. That's what he will say. He will declare himself to be God. And he will say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a fraud. And you shouldn't believe in him, but believe in me. He's an antichrist, one that's going to try and take the place of Christ. And here's the final stages of this conflict. But at this stage, the woman is in control of the antichrist. Now, just that we might take note of how things will develop, on down the chapter, verse 16, and the 10 horns, remember what they are? They're the same as the 10 toes in Daniel, representing 10 kings, or 10 kingdoms. And these 10 horns, verse 16 says, thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. That's the woman that's riding on the beast, controlling the beast, and shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words God shall be fulfilled. So here she is, in the early part of the chapter, and she's sitting in all her glory, riding the beast, in control of him. But you see, that's not how it's going to remain. The 10 horns that are upon the beast, representing the 10 kingdoms that give their support to the beast, that make up the kingdom of the beast. He's going to be a king over 10 kingdoms. And these 10 kings are going to hit this woman, turn against her, she'll get thrown off the beast and destroyed. And now the beast is the only one. He's in complete control. But boys and girls, one thing before I close this particular little study, there's something very important for you to notice. It's found there in the verse 16. Please listen. Oh, please listen. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. Here's this woman. All the kings of the earth are looking up to her, thinking highly of her, paying tribute to her. She's cast down. She's replaced. And the beast now becomes the dominant figure, supported by these 10 kings that rule over 10 kingdoms. But all this is happening because God is in control. I want you to notice that. There may well be that a come a time when you will need to remember this as you see. Maybe some of you will see this beginning to happen. For I don't believe that these events are really that far ahead of us. And when these things begin to happen, and this great wickedness is unleashed upon the world, just remember this. God is in control. What these 10 kings do, it's what God has caused them to do. And all that is taking place will take place in fulfillment of the words of God. Oh, bear this in mind. Never forget that God is on the throne of this world's affair. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today.